The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to just look at one verse, and that is verse number 4. And it just worked out that you have to listen to me 2 times in a row, last night and this morning. Last night, if you were in church. I know. But there's extra credit in heaven for that, praise God. And if you stay awake, there's a whole crown in heaven if you stay awake for that. Okay, Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Would you read it out loud with me, everyone, please? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. One more time. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Today I'm going to speak to you on a sensitive topic, the physical and sexual relationship of marriage. Now, God does not consider it a taboo subject because it's included in the Bible. He designed it. He made a whole book that deals with the subject in the Bible. He has a wonderful plan for married life that includes physical intimacies. The title of the message from this verse, and this is a great verse because it summarizes the Bible teaching on this subject. So the title of the message is Meant for Marriage. Meant for Marriage. And we're going to learn 3 truths this morning about marriage and the physical relationship in marriage. We're going to see its preciousness, we're going to see its privilege, and we're going to see its protection from Hebrews 13:4. First of all, let's notice the precious nature of marriage and the physical relationship in marriage. We see, first of all, that it is precious. The first phrase of the verse says, marriage is honorable in all. Or we could say it this way, marriage is honorable in all ways. The same Greek word translated honorable in other passages is translated precious. Precious. I like that word. It comes from a Latin word for a price. And so God is saying here in this passage through the writer of Hebrews that marriage is not to be undervalued. It is not to be disregarded. It's a precious institution of God. And physical intimacy in marriage is also to be valued and cherished and regarded, celebrated as special. Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed is undefiled. Now, I want you to notice quickly that this is a declaration. This is a declaration. It says marriage is honorable. Many of the modern versions today mistranslate this verse. They say it this way. You find this in the ESV, the NIV, the New Living Translation, something to this effect. And that is, marriage should be honored by all. And that's based on a one-letter change in the Greek. One letter added to the Greek text makes it an exhortation, which puts the onus on humanity to make it honorable. But that's not what the verse is saying. This is a declaration. God made marriage. He made it when man was in a perfect environment. He designed it for a wonderful purpose. And he says marriage is honorable. Marriage is honorable, whether we think it's honorable or not, and the physical relationship in marriage is precious, whether we think of it as precious or not. And I think that's an important point. See, we learn what marriage is from the Bible in the book of Genesis. And throughout the progression of Revelation, we understand what marriage is. God made it, he knows what it is, okay? And he knows how it works. Marriage is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman that commences with a public vow followed by the consummation of a physical union. That's important to understand the definition of marriage. Why is it so? Why did God make it that way? Because this union on earth is a representation of his relationship, not only with himself, the oneness of the Trinity, but his relationship with his people. And so we understand that marriage is not just a cultural convenience. It's not just about getting together and having companionship and romance. It's more than that. It's a sacred spiritual union that God ordained to picture something about himself. It's a model. It's a model to the world about God and how he relates to his people. He is showcasing, through marriages, he is showcasing a truth about himself. When you understand that, it elevates your view of marriage. It's not just about me and my spouse. It's about me, my spouse, and God. Me, my spouse, and God. This makes it a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing, a sacred thing, and it elevates your view of marriage. And if you have any other view of marriage, you have the wrong view. You're starting from the wrong foundation. You have the wrong basis. If you have the right view of marriage, you're going to experience all that God designed for you. So marriage is honorable. It's precious. And according to this verse, the physical relationship of marriage is precious as well. Let's look at point number two. It's a privilege. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed, what everyone? Undefiled. The marriage bed is undefiled. This is far from being dirty. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. Now, this is an important point. I hope you never forget it. Physical intimacy in marriage was meant by God to be the outflow of deeper unions. Physical intimacy in marriage was meant by God to be the outflow, the overflow of deeper unions. That's why God, in his perfect plan, asks us to wait until marriage to have physical intimacy. Why? Because he wanted you to take the time to develop the deeper unions first. And so the deeper unions help make physical intimacy beautiful and true intimacy, as opposed to something cheap and just stimulating nerve endings, frankly. And so God said, wait, develop these. I find this interesting. In Proverbs chapter 5, if you look at Proverbs 5, there's this whole section about physical intimacy, and God compares it, the physical union of marriage, to drawing from a well and a fountain. A well and a fountain. I think this speaks of the depth of relationship in a marriage, the abundance of the relationship of marriage, and that which helps sustain marital life. God is saying, there's something deep here. It's to outflow, overflow from something deeper than itself. Now, I'm gonna use an illustration that seems a little bizarre, I know. But let's bring it up on the screen. We're gonna think of an ice cream sundae this morning. Who's with me? How many of you like an ice cream sundae? Would you raise your hand proudly? Okay, there's an ice cream sundae. Now, we're gonna look at an ice cream sundae and think of the progression that God had ordained for marriage and physical intimacy. First of all, I want you to think of the bowl as the spiritual union between a man and a woman. This is the thing that holds it together. If you don't have the bowl, folks, you got a mess, okay? So this is the thing that holds it all together. Now, I believe this should develop in your dating life. You're a Christian young person. You should find a godly growing person to date, okay? If God is leading towards marriage, you should date those kind of people. And I've counseled young men here at the college, and I say the same thing over and over again. I say, there's godly girls. There's godly girls all over, okay? You just have to find. Where do I find them, Pastor Zach? It's pretty simple. Go where the godly girls are, all right? This should be a wonderful benefit to a Christian college. Guys, so what do? Well, you look for the girls that are participating in church and they're singing with their whole heart and they're serving in church and they go out on Christian service. They go to extra Bible studies and prayer groups. And you say, there's a godly girl. There's a godly girl. And so in the dating, now, of course, you're physically attracted at first, but it's that spiritual union you want to develop. Does this person have the same mutual goals that I have to serve the Lord? Does this person love the Lord like I do? Are they growing in their faith? And so this is what holds it all together. This will sustain you when the times get tough. You know, the test of your marriage, and you'll see this later on when many of you get married, the test of your marriage is when the trials come. And you'll see if you have the foundation set. And this is the foundation, and God wanted us to develop this, a spiritual union. Second of all, the scoops of ice cream, let's look at those. They would picture the intellectual union. And I think this is one of the most substantial parts of your relationship, all right? You have things in common. You have engaging conversation. You actually like the person. What a concept, okay? And so you say, boy, I love talking to them. It's interesting. We have friendship. We like to do things together. And so you have this intellectual union. We're friends. Your closest friend should be your spouse. And so we're friends. You have this intellectual union. Next, we see the toppings. Now, the toppings, and in this case, it's strawberry there, that would represent the emotional union. So you have spiritual, intellectual, emotional, or I'm doing it the wrong order. You have spiritual, intellectual, emotional. Now, this develops in dating as well, and I really think this takes off when you get engaged and you've made a commitment to one another. And now you're really sharing your heart. You're saving your heart for that one that you know is gonna be your spouse, and then you give it away. You don't just give your heart to everybody. You don't go around saying, I love you to everybody in that way. No, you wait, and then now you've made a commitment. Now you really are sharing your heart emotionally, and you develop this emotional connection and passion for one another that builds and builds till your wedding day. And there's the whipped cream. The whipped cream is on top. God says in the Bible, God says, have a healthy portion. It's pleasurable. It's just not substantial. It will not hold a relationship up. It's beautiful in its place. It's wonderful in its place. It's just not substantial enough to support the rest of the relationship. It goes, that is to go on top after everything else is in place. It's to be the outflow of deeper unions. Otherwise, it's cheapened. If you put things in the wrong order, young people, you're trying to hold up everything else with whipped cream. You're trying to hold it up with whipped cream, and you can't. Others have tried, they've failed. You can't hold it up with whipped cream. By the way, after a while, you're gonna see that your longing for true intimacy only grows because what you have is lust, not love. And sex by itself will not fulfill true intimacy in your life. You have to have the spiritual, intellectual, emotional, then the physical. And that's how God designed it. So he said, wait till marriage. It's only for two people that are committed to each other and who have these deeper unions so that they can experience true intimacy. Now, the world would laugh at what I'm saying today, the unbelieving world. And they would say, don't listen to that guy up there. What's he? Of course, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, but they would say, don't listen to him. That's ridiculous. They would say, it's the physical. The physical first and foremost. The unbelieving world out there says that sex is an animal instinct. It's a source of personal gratification. And if you lose it with someone, you just go find someone else. That's what they would say. By the way, that's what you see on TV shows and movies, most of them. That's what you hear in popular music. That's what's advertised in the marketplace. You have to be extra diligent as a Christian young person to avoid that and say, that's not going in my head. That is wrong. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's wrong. And I'm not listening to that stuff. I'm not watching that stuff. I'm not going to buy that lie because I know it's untrue. And you see the fallout all over. And you need to be extra diligent today in our culture that is sex crazy. You have to be extra diligent to avoid that in your life and say, I am not listening to that. I'm not watching that. I'm going to rely on the strength of God and the spiritual resources I have to refuse this temptation, because that's a wrong view of sex. That is a wrong view. They are lying. Young people, someday you're gonna, by the grace of God, God calls some people to singleness. And the Apostle Paul said it was a wonderful privilege in his life to be single. And I would never discount that. But God may call you to meet someone and marry them. And I promise you, when you meet them and you prepare for marriage, you're going to want to present to them the most wonderful gift. The most wonderful gift that you have, a pure, untarnished innocence leading to a shared mutual discovery. I'm telling you, it is fulfilling in its place. You're going to want to give that gift to your spouse. I hope you make the right choice. You can only give that gift away once. And when you do things God's way, it is so much more fulfilling. Don't listen to the unbelieving world. Listen to God. He made it. He knows how it works. It's not a physical act alone. It's meant to be the expression of something deeper and more profound. That's why it's meant for marriage only. It's meant for marriage only. So we see the preciousness. It's precious. It's a privilege for marriage only. Last of all, we have to address this. Look at the end of the verse. It's a protection. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. We talked about that. Now look at the last part. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The physical relationship in marriage, then, is a protection against the judgment of God. It's a protection from the judgment of God. What does the unbelieving world say, once again? They say, if you can't be moral, just be careful. If you can't be moral, just be careful. And they talk about safe sex. There's one major problem with that. The only way to be careful is to be moral. And the only safe sex is between two people who have saved themselves for marriage. That's the only safe sex. And anyone that tells you otherwise is lying to you. The only safe sex there is for two people who've saved themselves for marriage. God says here, there's a protection in marriage life. And in another passage, it says it's better to marry than to burn with lust, we would add. So God said, yes, I created these desires in you. Yes, I put them there for you, but there's a place for their fulfillment. There is a boundary that I have set for their proper fulfillment. Anything outside that, and you're headed for trouble. God's moral order is immutable, just like his natural laws are immutable, his moral laws are immutable. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. It's the only sin in the Bible said that's spoken of that way. You're sinning against your own body. The word fornication means all illicit sex practice. We find the same base word translated fornication, porneia. We find it in our passage in the title whoremonger. Whoremonger. It could just as well say fornicators, which means all illicit sex practice. I mean, sex before marriage, adultery, incest, homosexuality, all of it is put in that term. And God says, if you sin in that way, you're just sinning against yourself. You're sinning against me. You're sinning against yourself. So physical relations in marriage prevents fornication. Those that go outside of that boundary are headed for many consequences. Let me name them quickly. First of all, physical consequences. God said it's a sin against your own body. I found this sobering. There are 7 incurable sexually transmitted diseases, not including HIV and AIDS. And according to the CDC, over 20 million young people will be diagnosed every year in America. Over 20 million. Whoa. So there are physical consequences to fornication. Number 2, emotional consequences. With going outside God's moral order, you experience guilt and this cheapening sense of value in your life. You become uncertain and anxious in your relationships. You may have gotten into this because you give in to peer pressure. Guys, other guys may say, well, this is the gateway to true masculinity, you know, to go out there and find a girl and have your way. That's not true. True masculinity is patient and exhibits self-control. Girls, you may feel pressured to be physical with a guy or else you're gonna lose him. Hey, ladies, you need to get out of that relationship quickly because you're in a relationship of lust, not love. And you're headed for big trouble. So there's physical, emotional, relational consequences. You tend to be impatient and selfish. You're attracted to others who are the same way, which is a recipe for heartbreak. You have shallow relationships because you haven't developed the deeper unions. There's marital consequences. You're less likely to have a fulfilled marriage if you're involved in this. You've chipped away a hole in the foundation of chastity and trust, and that's going to be taken into your marriage. God can forgive you and restore you, and by the grace of God, you can go forward. God's a God of mercy, praise God, but it's going to affect your marriage. Number 5, last, spiritual consequences. As a Christian, if you're involved in this, you've broken fellowship with God. So saving yourself for marriage is a protection for you. It's a protection for you. God says it's a wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling experience in its place. It's meant for marriage, which is honorable. And so we should all aspire to be honorable. Be honorable and experience the best that God desires for us and not accept anything else but his standard. And when we do that, when we set our sights high and we say, God, by your grace, I want to resist that which is degraded and receive your wonderful design, that's when God will show you what marriage is all about and true intimacy is all about. Now, thank God for his forgiveness when we miss the standard, but we should, by the grace of God, go forward and set our aim high. And that is my desire for you. I don't know why, but the Lord laid this message on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. And I said, boy, I'm excited to share this with you, even though there's some negative aspects of it, if we receive it, if we let it soak into our spirit, if we receive it as true, then we will experience all that God wants us to experience in this life in the right way. Now, here's some practical points, and I'll let you go. What do I do with this, Pastor Zach? Okay, I believe this. I believe what you're saying because it's from God's word. Marriage is honorable. The physical relationship in marriage is honorable and precious. It's limited to marriage. It's a privilege only for marriage. It's the marriage bed that's undefiled. Everything else is defiled. And I do believe that God will judge those that do otherwise. What do I do with this? 6 things real quick. Number 1, decide in advance to be pure. Make a decision right now. Maybe many of you have already made this decision, so just recommit yourself constantly to it. Decide to be pure. Number 2, rely on God daily to keep your commitment, which goes with number 1. Number 3, guide your eyes and your ears, the 2 gates to your mind. Guard those. Be diligent and guard those, as the Bible says. Number 4, avoid putting yourself in a place to be tempted. Avoid. Now, sometimes you get caught, and then you just run, okay? But avoid being in a place to be tempted. Number 5, confess any past failures and stay pure from now on. And number 6, seek a godly spouse. seek a godly spouse. You might say, Pastor Zach, the young ladies, I'm at a disadvantage here. Well, hey, I'm waiting on some guy. Hey, you pray. You say, God, would you lead a godly young man in my direction? God, would you lead him in my direction? Guys, you're looking for those godly women to date. In favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There is something more beautiful about godly character than anything else. It's an accentuated beauty when she has godly character. That's what you want. That's what you want. Seek a godly spouse. Why? Because marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for listening. Hope you get that extra credit for listening. So important for your life, your future. Your life today and your future. You may make a decision today based on this, or rededicate yourself based on this one verse and the principles from it that will change the course of your future in a wonderful way. You may, by that decision, avoid many of the wiles of the devil and the pitfalls that come with going against God's moral order. Consequences that can never be undone. Once set in motion, you can avoid those. Today, you can make a decision that would change the course of your future. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you failed. God is gracious. God is merciful. He allows us to find a degree of blessing in a new path, a path of purity. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. He made marriage. He knows how it works. He made the physical relationship, and he knows how it works. We would be wise to seek him and his grace, to experience what he wants us to experience the way he wants us to.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.